Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode six.
Six
of E4 2016. I'm Tommy, that's Jamie, and we're having fun.
Yes, we are. Can I say something? Okay, like, we've been drinking a little this evening.
Just slightly.
Just a little. Yeah. Not too much.
Right.
Just a little.
Enough to make podcasting fun.
And let's face it, it makes everything fun. Like, it makes gaming fun.
It does make gaming fun.
It makes podcasting
slightly more challenging.
Yeah. Because you have to wonder, are your reflexes still there? And yours are.
Also makes podcasting slightly more challenging.
Yes. Which I think is kind of funny because you made the joke about the reflexes. And I didn't have any reflexes to start. And now mine are totally hosed.
Yeah, you spilled your drink.
Yeah, I did. And I'm a little pissed about that because I paid for that.
I've never seen anybody more disappointed about spilling a drink. Jamie's like, oh, suck. It was like nothing of this. Yeah, it was great. It was a good time. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I pay for something, I want to drink it. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
That's it.
That's fair. No, I'll give you that. So, anyway, this is the show where we're going to just talk about random stuff. We don't really have a structure. We've watched all kinds of videos. We've talked about all kinds of things. We're going to talk about VR a lot.
Yes.
We know that.
And I'm glad that we've been drinking because there's a lot of random stuff to talk about it.
Yes.
And some of it is not very good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of depressed about some of it.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. So we've got lots to talk about. Before we do that, thanks to Cabbage and Jose.
Yes.
For supporting us on Patreon. We're going to get that out of the
way. I
can't
you're going to do that every show.
Every show.
Like, I was just looking at the Patreon where it says we're going to say their names every show, and I'm like, we really got to change that.
Yeah. Hey, give us money. We'll say your name every stinking show. I'm more than happy to.
I love the way you're thinking, man. I love that. That's good.
So big props to them. Again, we just started this whole Patreon thing. So go by the website, GamingUncensored.com. You can find the link there. Or you can just go to Patreon.com and search for Gaming Uncensored and find us that way,
That's
too.
How I did it.
So if you're interested in contributing, we would love for you to. It would be awesome. And so if you don't feel like contributing, that's also perfectly fine. You don't have to.
I thought it was funny that we told the sexy sidekick that was happening. And she was like, what?
You're right.
Like, what? Are these people stupid? And we're like, no, they just like us.
Right. We don't understand why, but they apparently do. So.
Yes.
We like you, too. Thank you for liking us. We will reciprocate your like. So, go by GamingUncensored.com. Check that out. And all the other stuff that's going on there, we're going to have lots more content coming. There's all kinds of good stuff happening. And so, where do we start on this show?
You know what? I think we got to start with VR. Because, I got to tell you, I'm really depressed. Well, I'm not really depressed because I've been drinking, so right. I'm not really that depressed. But here's the thing with the VR stuff. You tried it.
Yes.
And you were pumped.
Yes.
You were like, all I want to do is put a headset on your face and watch and see what happens.
Yes.
And every one of the VR impressions that we have seen thus far, they've been like, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, there's a couple of themes to them. First of all, we're still in the infancy of this new kind of way to play games. And so
right.
I think developers are still trying to figure out like what to do with them. And so I feel like what's happened a lot with the E3 kind of demos is that developers have just decided that we want to show you that VR works.
Right.
And it's not like we want to give you a compelling experience. We just want to prove to you that this idea that we have works. And so, for instance, the first one we heard them talking about was the Final Fantasy 15 VR experience. And so this is from, I think all this was from IGN, what we were watching today. And it's just The people that were able to actually get hands-on with these VR experiences that were announced, kind of talking about the experience because they don't have video to show or anything like that. And so the VR experience, the gist or the Final Fantasy experience, the gist was, it was kind of lame and boring. But it was VR, and it was a cool environment or whatever, but it was kind of lame and boring.
Yeah.
And it was not necessarily lame and boring because VR isn't cool, but it was lame and boring because all it was this little, essentially, tech demo that was just shooting and warping around.
Can I say that I'm sort of already sick of the phrase, a taste?
Yes.
I hate it so much. We just want to give you a taste.
Yes.
And that's what everybody's saying. And it's annoying because, like, seriously, we understand that it's new. We understand that you're trying to prove yourself. But I understand why people are pissed off about the whole warping thing. Like, how hard is it to use a controller or a mouse and keyboard to move your butt around?
Yeah, so this is another theme that's come up, is that the VR demos that exist are trying to, at least the way that I see most of them, is use the VR controllers to showcase it. Now, first of all, looking at the HTC Vive, it's like the Steam controllers that I feel like each one of them has like a little analog pad, you know, that weird pad that the Steam controller does. So first of all, I feel like even with those VR controllers, you should be able to do like basic first-person shooter movement with like those two analog pads. I may be mistaken about that, what's actually how those controllers work, but that's how I remember it. And so first of all, like even with the VR controllers, that should work. But the other thing that I think you're spot on with is it feels like every one of these VR demos, they want to show it off with VR controllers when the game itself is much better with a standard controller.
Right.
So we also heard this with Fallout 4. They made a big deal during the Bethesda conference about the Fallout VR and that's going to be this big thing. And then the actual VR experience that they're showing off at E3 is using the HTC Vive motion controls. And so the way that you traverse in the world, the way you move around, is like this point and click where you like teleport from place to place.
Which I can see how that would be really annoying.
Yeah, that sounds stupid. Like just dumb. Like give me an analog stick, you know? But they want, and so like what the flip side is with Fallout 4 is like you can lift up your arm and turn the control over and have the Pip-Boy right there.
Right.
And that's super cool.
Yeah.
And so it's trying to find that balance. If you can utilize those HTC Vive controllers or Oculus Touch or PlayStation Move when that gets here, Move controllers, if they do something different, because I don't think those controllers will do this right now.
Right.
But if they put on an analog stick with those or something, that you both have the spatial recognition of the controllers and the analog kind of sensibility of traditional gaming controls,
right,
it could be super cool. I feel like they're missing the point of the game by trying to make it a fully quote-unquote immersive experience.
Right, because if you're trying to be immersive, the fastest way to take you out is like a Dishonored blink. Like, if it was Dishonored and you're blinking around, like, I totally get that. But if you're playing Doom and you're blinking around, that's weird.
Or Fallout, where that's not a thing.
Right.
Like, that's not a mechanism that exists in those games, and you're adding that gameplay element in. It feels weird.
Yeah, so bizarre.
Yeah, that's both a little worrisome and also hopefully developers getting an idea that people don't really want it to work this way.
Right.
Like, we still want it to
and
be Fallout.
And I hope
Fallout.
They understand that because if I'm going to play Fallout, I want to play Fallout. I don't want to play some weird representation of Fallout where I'm walking around the environment like, you know, I dream of genie.
Right.
I don't need that where I like bop my head and I'm like, oh, what's the world?
Right. Like Fallout is a great example of this because Fallout is a game built on exploration. Most of the fun, a good chunk of the fun that comes from Fallout is exploring the world. The world is a living thing and you want to find different things and you stumble across things and it's awesome. And that takes a lot of walking in game. And if you're blinking around or teleporting around, it's not going to feel like what you should do. Or if you have to like with the HTC Vive, what's the room awareness called, whatever,
right.
The room scale, that you like have to walk around your room a million times to go anywhere in the world.
Right, which I hate that too.
Yeah, that's I do too. That's going to feel weird. Give me a DualShock. Like, I want to play Fallout in VR. I want to play it with a DualShock.
Right.
Or a mouse and keyboard or something like that. And that doesn't seem like you can do traditional controls, but you also have the look capabilities of the VR headset.
And can I mention something? I think part of the problem is that they want you to hold the things in your hand. And if you're going to use the VR controllers, they want you to hold them in your hand. And I don't know. We haven't seen them. But really, all you need for these controllers is the movement. That's it. If for moving your head and for everything else, that's doable somewhere else. Really, what you need is the ability to move. And if I were playing on mouse and keyboard, for example, all I would really need is the directional buttons to move myself and a VAST button and a fire button.
Right.
Like, that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Everything else, like, if I'm going to look at my arm and get my Pit Boy, I don't need anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's definitely some of that. And the flip side is true, too. And I mentioned this when I talked about my own experience with Oculus. The game that they showed was this mountain climbing game that was really weird with an Xbox One controller. And
right.
So it was a traditional controller in a game that needed VR controls. And so there are games that are going to be developed for VR that need VR controls. And there's games that are going to be developed either for VR or ported to VR that shouldn't use VR controls. There's not a right or wrong. There's not an absolute position of we always need VR controls or we always need traditional controls. So, for instance, there was also a hands-on with the Star Trek Bridge Crew game, which is a game that makes complete sense to do with motion controls.
Oh, man, and they liked it.
Yeah, they liked it. And it works in that environment because it was a game, and this is something we've talked about on the show before, and we mentioned David Cage earlier had mentioned this. VR games that are made for VR need to be made specifically for VR, and VR games that are ported to VR need to be significantly
retooled
to make the VR experience work without overdoing it and making the VR experience suck by trying too hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like what they're doing right now with Fallout is trying too hard, where it doesn't need the motion controls.
I think that's what they're doing with all of them. I think they've lost the idea that by putting this stuff at E3, they are dealing with jaded gamers. Like, somebody was talking about the Batman experience.
Yeah.
Kind of how that went. Like, you're standing in front of a piano and you play certain keys and the piano goes down and you end up in the Batcave and you're getting dressed in the Batcave and doing this. Like, this really simple stuff. Like, I don't care. If you're not going to put me in like an actual game, I don't really care. And this is from a guy who hasn't seen the VR yet. I know you really dug a couple of demos, but like, I don't need you to tease me with a taste.
Right.
Like, figure out how to make it work. And if you don't have it, don't show me.
I agree with that in a little bit. I think if you experience any of these VR things, you would think they were cooler than just hearing about them. That's the thing with VR, is that it's so hard to communicate, and it's a lot what we did with the 3DS. You can't show it on TV. It doesn't translate. Like, you gotta experience it to really get the idea behind it. VR is the same way. Like, so there was another one that was a Doom demo.
Right.
Which sounds super cool and terrifying in VR, but a cool experience.
Right.
But for the experience, like, it was stand and shoot. Like, they didn't have movement the way that, like, it took them to, like, four different environments and they could shoot some demons up. But it was really just an exploration of the environments, a looking around kind of exploration, not even a moving through the environments. And that's the potential downfall of VR, is if we get a ton of shooters that are on rails. You know, like, you can make a compelling VR shooter on rails. You can't make 50 compelling VR shooters on rails. You know, like there may be one game that comes out that does that format well. I'm not going to play Doom like that.
No.
I'm going to play Doom in a traditional way.
We played Doom, and we were shocked at how good that was.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I don't want to play it in VR, especially if the VR experience isn't going to be at least as good as the non-VR experience. So what we're going to see is some games that are developed for VR that are probably pretty good. We're going to see a lot of games that are developed for VR that suck. That's right. Part of the process that always happens.
And what I don't understand, a lady said, and I don't remember her name because I've been drinking. But lady that works for GameSpot said that she had tried the Resident Evil experience.
Lucy O'Hara.
Pretty good. Lucy, yeah. She tried the Resident Evil experience and she liked it, enjoyed it, and she would play the whole game that way, she thought. But the game was already available the demo was already available on PlayStation Plus. Who is able to use this thing?
Well, like, the VR isn't available on PlayStation Plus, just the standard demo is.
You know what? We should probably go get that.
We probably should.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a bad idea for sure. But yeah, that was a really good. So as much as we heard some like, the VR experience was kind of lame, from people, mind you, that have had lots of VR experience
one
already.
One of them was her, because she played one of the other ones.
She did. She was the one that wasn't at all impressed with Final Fantasy.
Right.
But let's be clear that these people that we're hearing from have already had lots of VR experiences.
Yeah.
These are people that have been able to try VR as it's kind of gone through this development process. A lot of people on the show floor at E3, probably this is their first time strapping on a headset, or all they've had is like the little Oculus demo that I've had. And so when you see that in a game that you know, it's going to be a much better experience, I would imagine. You're not going to be quite as jaded to the experience as I think some of the gaming press are. So, but yeah, you're right. Apparently Resident Evil translates really well into VR, and the whole game is going to be available that way. She talked about how it made her a little bit motion sick, because maybe the frame rate wasn't quite where it needed to be.
Which that's the one thing. She said it added to the experience,
right? Which I kind of dug.
But I'm like, I don't think I want to be nauseous the whole time that I'm playing Resident Evil.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
But she was saying for a Resident Evil game, and she was speculating that it might have been a little bit intentional, just to give you that little bit more of a visceral reaction to Resident Evil. She was saying it kind of made her a little bit motion sick, which wasn't a negative for that experience. Like for Resident Evil, that's gross and creepy and everything else, like maybe that comes along with it. So anyway, most of the VR experiences we heard about or saw kind of demos of were first person games. However, there were a few that weren't that are really interesting.
We saw a weird one today.
Right. So one of them, before we get to the really weird one, one of them is called Volume Coda, which is based off of this game that apparently already exists called Volume. And I don't know anything about Volume, the game. And now there's this VR experience that goes along with it.
Right.
That's like a stealth, think early Metal Gear, like avoiding line of sight and hiding in lockers and trying to navigate a level without being detected, all that kind of stuff. And so instead of being a first-person view of it, it's like a top-down view of the environment of the world, which is cartoony looking. It's not photorealistic. It's kind of
And to
gimmicky.
Me, like, again, I haven't had the thing on my head. I haven't worn one, so I don't know what that looks like. But I'm looking at that going, man, that would be a pain to move that deck around.
Right.
Because you're looking at a deck and your little guy is running around in this environment, in this little deck that is movable, that you can move around the screen. It looks to me like it would be a pain to move around, but I guess you get used to it.
Right, and the way that they do it is a PlayStation VR title, which I think just about everything VR outside of Doom and Fallout has been PlayStation VR that we've talked about so far, because PlayStation VR showed up to play.
Like, yes.
They weren't playing around with this. But you're right, with this one, the way that he kind of maneuvered the deck, the kind of board, it looks kind of like a board game looking down on it, was with motion controls with a standard DualShock, because the standard DualShock can do that.
Right.
Which is great. Like, you can use a traditional controller and still have some of that kind of interact with the world
and
in
space.
See,
I could do that.
Yeah.
I could hold one and move it as long as I didn't have to push a button or,
right.
You know.
Yeah, it's so there's a way that can work in a non-first-person shooter way. The other one, the one that you mentioned that was just nuts, is a game called Gnog or Nog. I'm not sure if that's a silent G at the beginning or not. And it's like a VR puzzle game. It reminded me of The Room and the sequels of The Room on iOS or Android. I'm sure if you've ever played those games, which are fantastic little puzzle games that you just have to solve puzzle after puzzle after puzzle to kind of progress through this space. It looked like that, but like psychedelic and crazy stuff going on. And I don't even know how to begin to explain it, but it looked really interesting.
Go see it.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Yeah,
go
we don't
it.
Unfortunately have that one on the website right now, but go to gamingunsensored.com anyway, because we have lots of other good stuff there. But you're going to have to go to YouTube or somewhere else to see G-N-O-G, Gnog, Nog, whatever it's called, which was trippy and weird and whatever. One other VR game that's coming that we didn't see coming and are pretty pumped about is Psychonauts.
No idea how it's going to work because they're all just like sitting in a room talking and it was funny. But the reason that one gets to me is that's an environment that I want to look around. That's an environment.
Yeah.
With those characters that I want to be in, I want to have those conversations. When I saw you looking at it and asked you what it was, and you said Psychonauts, I was like, "Sweet, that is awesome! Give me some of that."
Yeah.
And Tim Schafer has some really weird stuff.
Yeah.
At E3, but
we'll talk about another one.
It's all good.
Yeah. The Psychonauts game is called The Rhombus of Ruin, which I dig. I don't know what the Rhombus of Ruin is going to be, but there it is. And it was the most compelling VR experience that I think translates into fun gameplay maybe that we saw out of all these kind of little demos and stuff like that. There were a few other ones we saw in there I don't remember at this point that were not terribly memorable. But Psychonauts is a franchise that's already pretty well beloved. It has this kind of cult status, and it looks like it could utilize the medium really, really well. And again, it's PlayStation VR, and so Sony showed up to E3 and said, "We've sold the most hardware. We have awesome games, and we're going to dominate VR."
And that was something I got to be honest with you. That was something that I did not expect, and you got to wonder. Because the Oculus guys are there, and the HTC Vive guys are there. I wonder if they're looking around at what Sony is doing going, oh, crap.
Right.
Because it's not about, for me at this point, it's not about the quality of the experience. It's that when the PlayStation VR comes out, I'll be able to play $400 and have the ability to put the visor on my head and have some of these games available to me. And they're not maybe the quality of the HTC Vive or the Oculus, but they're good enough to make it worth my money.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that worries the Oculus guys and the HTC guys at all. Because, first of all, we're not having to pay for extra hardware with the PlayStation VR. If you already have a PS4, you've got what you need to get this done.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big deal. I don't know that it's maybe going to hit Oculus and HTC Vive as hard. I don't know. It's hard to say. Obviously, Oculus and the Vive are competing against each other.
Right.
Nobody's going to have both of those unless you just have ridiculous amounts of money. And if you do, go by gamingUncensored.com and donate to the Patreon. If you are considering having both of those in your house, give us the money, too.
Will, here's the thing. We will talk about you however you want us to talk about you. Just give us money.
Absolutely.
We don't even care.
That being said, it's very much a different audience, maybe, or maybe some of the same audience, because I would like either one, but it's it doesn't feel the same. It feels like they're still kind of different platforms, that either I'm going to get the HTC and the or the Oculus eventually, and I'm going to get a PlayStation VR. Probably going to get a PlayStation VR
but
first.
You know why? You know why you're going to do that? Because of the price.
Right, absolutely.
That's it.
And it's not as robust of a VR system, but it's cheaper.
Again, it's good enough.
Yes.
It's good enough.
Hopefully.
To get started.
Now, I still want to see it. That's whatever PlayStation VR starts showing up in GameStops or whatever. I got to go try it too. You know, like, I'm not expecting it to be the same as Oculus, and so I need to have that experience. But if I put it on and if I'm sold pretty quickly, like I was on the Oculus, if I had the money, I'd go buy one today. I don't have the money to build a PC and buy a VR headset. But if I did, I'd go buy one today because I think it's going to be awesome.
Let's be honest. You do, but if you did, your wife would kill you.
Right. I don't have the money because I personally have zero cash. I have zero money because I'm married and we have money. My wife doesn't have money either, to be fair.
Right.
We have money together, and yeah, it's when you got to spend $1,000+ on something, the wife gets a say in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud.
Completely fair.
I spent 2 hours with her, and she had a say in what I did today.
Right.
So I understand that completely.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so I would go pick up one if I could, but I can't. PlayStation VR is going to be a whole lot easier to justify. I don't have to buy a new rig and it's cheaper. Like it's both of those things. It's not, well, it's still $600, but I don't have to buy a PC
and
it's $400 and I don't have to. Now, to be fair, it's $400 plus you still have to get the PlayStation Eye because that's not included in the box and you know that,
but
it's still cheaper.
It's a lot easier because we will do this. When it comes to you, that's a lot easier for you and I to justify as Gaming Uncensored. It's like this week. Like she said something to me that I thought was very interesting. I thanked her for allowing you to come play with me for a week. And she looked at me and she said, I didn't have any say in it. It's E3.
Right.
And you're Gaming Uncensored. And I thought... That's where the PlayStation VR comes into play because we're Gaming Uncensored. It's reasonably priced. It makes total sense for us to have both of us to have one.
Yes.
Like that's not something that she's going to look at us both and go, "You're stupid," because it makes sense.
I mean, going to look at us and say we're stupid, but she's not going to go, "That's not doable." You know, like there's a difference. She thinks everything we do is stupid in some capacity.
Well, it probably is.
But I'm thrilled to slap the thing on her. Like, yeah. I want to see her in VR, you know? Like, I think she'll get a kick out of it.
She's going to freak out.
Yeah, she won't do it very long. She's a little claustrophobic and prone to motion sickness. And so it'll be like 5 minutes. She'll be like, nope, done. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it'll be like the easiest, nicest, like least intense VR experience ever, and she's still gonna be like, no, not gonna do that. But it'll be fun once to see her with it on her head. So yeah, a couple other VR games. One other one I want to mention is this game called Wilson's Heart, which is a twisted pixel game, which is kind of cool. We like twisted pixel. Which is the if you remember Splosion Man, I was so obsessed with Splosion Man, but they've done a million other things that are really good. This is a black and white horror mystery is how they describe it. You called it kind of film noir kind of look. That's, I don't really get it. Is this first person kind of murder mystery maybe, or horror mystery or whatever it is, but they have like Rosario Dawson on board and Peter Weller on board and like really well-known people like that are going to be part of this game. And that's impressive for a game I'd never heard of and didn't know was coming. And it's just kind of randomly in the plethora of content that's around E3. It's for Oculus. And so that's not a PlayStation VR title. I don't know. It might end up on PlayStation VR as well, but they branded it as an Oculus game. And so good for them.
Yeah. What caught me was the black and white film noir kind of a thing, because you don't see a lot of that.
Yeah, and that's a bold thing to do in VR.
Well, and I think it'll look cool in VR. It'll be a different look than anything else out there, because you'll put the headset on and go, wow.
I hope so. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be that. And it, again, this is, maybe we should have seen this coming. We just maybe didn't, because it's not necessarily our genre. Horror franchises are going to flourish in VR. I've seen more horror games that have a VR tag on the end.
Or not even necessarily horror, but suspenseful type.
Sure.
There's going to be a lot of mysteries and...
But specifically horror, in that they're going to try to scare you.
Right.
Like, they want you to be freaked out by playing these
games. Yeah, that's the one thing I need to do, is put a visor on my head and pee my pants while I'm playing games.
Like, yeah. During the Sony press conference, when they were showing off Resident Evil, I was looking away from the screen. You know? Like, like, I'm a wuss. I'm not afraid to admit it. Like, when it comes to, like, horror games and stuff, like, I'm just a wuss. Having the thing strapped on my head where, like, the only thing I could do to get away from it is close my eyes, but then you can't do anything, you know? Like, it's... Nope.
Yeah, nope. I'm probably going to have to figure out how to do that one on my own, aren't I? Because you're not going to...
It's going to be tough, yeah. I could do Doom. Like, actually, I think Doom would be pretty fun, other than how fast it is. It might just get so disorienting that you just fall down. Right, like you're just going to get lost in it.
Okay, we have to do Resident Evil, but we have to do it a certain way. I don't have a mic plugged into my PlayStation 3 at this point.
Right.
Or PlayStation 4. Man, I had too much to drink. but I don't have a mic plugged into my PlayStation 4 at this point. The way that's going to work with a game like that, I think we figured out that it's going to be fairly easy for me to spectate during these games, because I think they're sort of built that way.
I hope so. Yeah.
I can just sort of see share play working that way, where I put the thing on my head and you know, you play and I'm watching as you move. The only way we're going to get through that is if I have a mic on my face, and I'm talking to you the whole time, and
you're like, "Turn left, man, turn left." I'm gonna right. be like, "No, no, yeah. not gonna do it." You know, man,
and
you gotta turn left.
Dude, go get a drink. Seriously, go get some alcohol, because we're getting through this.
Yeah, it's super compelling, and I think it's really smart. And I know people who just love horror games that are gonna freak out over this.
Well, look. Let's be honest, okay? It bothers you now because you're an adult. You deal with enough stressful stuff. But you're just like me. When we were 14, 15 years old, we were totally into Resident Evil and spent time with it. And I remember when those dogs came through that glass and scared the crap out of me. I can't play because I'm like, that's cool.
Right.
It's something about being an adult and already having enough stress in your life that you're like, I don't need that.
Maybe. I was never, like, I loved watching my friends play Resident Evil when I was younger. I would play, like, we would all take turns. This is how we played games when we were growing up, is we would take turns.
Right.
And I would take my turn on Resident Evil, and I'd always find some excuse to make my turn, like, 5 minutes long. Like, I'd play it for a little bit, you know, and I'd be, like, exploring it, and, like, the music starts. I'd be like, I gotta go pee. Here you go. I'll give you the controller. Then I'd be like, I'd walk, like, to the corner of the room and just hang out back there for a little bit, you know? They'd be like, woo! That felt good. You just keep on playing. I'll hang out back here. You know, like, that was my strategy for getting around actually having to play together. And that way, when it got, like, freaky, I could just, like, duck behind the couch or something, and it didn't matter.
I'm laughing at you because I can hear that. Like, I can hear that coming out of your mouth. And I think I just, like, discombobulated myself here. But I can hear that. And I can understand that, but I think for us, as long as we do it as a pair, I think it's going to be great fun.
It will be fun.
Because
yeah. It'll be terrifying fun, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there. So, any other thoughts on VR before we move off VR stuff?
I just really hope that whether it's PlayStation VR or Oculus or HTC or whatever, I really hope that there's more good than bad.
Yes.
Because I didn't like, on all the stuff that we saw today, that the response was like,
Yeah.
I was not a fan of that because, I don't know about you, and you can speak for yourself, but this is one thing in gaming that I have personally a vested interest in. Like, I want this to be good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We both do. This is obviously, if you've been listening to the show for any time at all, we've been geeking out about VR for years now, literally years that we've been talking about this. As soon as, like, Oculus was like a real thing, we were like, yes, 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 yes. We want that. We want that now. And we're there. Like, Oculus has a consumer model on the market. HTC Vive is out there. PlayStation VR is 5 months away or whatever it is. We are there. We're at VR. It's now time for it to deliver. And so now it's all this kind of hype that you and I personally have built up because we're so into the idea. Like, now it has to pay off. And that's a little bit scary. And it's not going to be as good as we think it should be probably at first and maybe ever. But my hope is, and my feeling is, it will be good enough that we're going to fall in love with it. And whatever flaws there are, we're going to be like, eh, okay, so that's a little weird, but we don't care because this is awesome.
And we haven't really talked about it, but again, the price point of PSVR is good enough that the day that it comes out, I hope that we have scheduled off time and right. You are here and I am in Dallas, and we can go to the store and pick one up and then lock ourselves into a room for a day and a half or 2 days, because that's what we've been waiting for for the last 5 years. And because of that price point, like, I don't care. I'll give you $400.
Right.
Here's $400. Go get it.
Yeah.
That's what that's going to be. And I don't even remember at this point what the date is.
October 13th?
I think that's an awful date because you'll be right in the middle of the semester.
It's like a week after I have some time off.
But I can just see, like, that's one of those weeks that if we have our choice, we're going to call in sick and be in the same room together somewhere, because that will be the realization of everything that we wanted for the last 5 years. And yeah, I know it's PSVR and it's not as good as Oculus or whatever, but it's cheap enough that we can get it day one.
Yeah. And that's a big deal. And it looks like it's going to have compelling content. Like, they're really pushing it in what seems to be a real smart way, you know, like that they're approaching it in this manner of gamers want games. Gamers don't just want this kind of fancy hardware thing. What we complained about with Kinect forever. The Kinect was this great tech that never was fully realized. I feel like they're looking at this as, we need to make sure that this is realized. It's a different thing. I think it's easier for VR to make that jump, but it's a big deal. Like, it's got to make it. It's got to pay off.
And just to be clear about how right we were with Kinect, nobody said anything about Kinect in the last 2 years.
Yeah. When was the last time you've heard anybody in the gaming community say anything about Kinect?
2 years ago.
Other than, like, Kinect doesn't turn my Xbox on anymore or whatever, you know? Right. Like, yeah, it's done. It's not a thing anymore. Microsoft knows that, and that's good. But it's not a thing anymore. VR can't be that. Like, it's already too invested in this industry to just kind of disappear like Kinect has. You know, it's right. kind of Wisp that used to be Kinect, and now it's just this thing in a box, and it's weird or whatever. So, yeah, it's a different thing. It could succumb to the same fate. I don't think it will.
Right.
So, that's the VR talk for now. We'll obviously have much, much, much more VR talk as time goes by, because it's on us, it's here, and we're pumped about it. So, I do have to mention a handful of Metroidvania type games that look awesome.
Oh, wow.
There's a few of them, starting with ReCore. We finally saw ReCore gameplay, and for the life of me, I don't understand why Microsoft didn't put this in their press conference.
It makes absolutely no sense.
Because I still, coming away from the Microsoft press conference, I didn't really get what ReCore was still.
If we had seen that in the Microsoft press conference, you personally would have freaked out.
Yeah, I would have been way more pumped about this game, which I am now way more pumped about this game, because the developer on this kind of stage demo that they did described it at the very beginning of the demo as Mega Man meets Metroid Prime. And that sold me. Yeah. You know, like, that's about all you got to say, and I'm interested in it. And it is this kind of exploration-based combat shooter. It's third person instead of first person. Metroid Prime was first person, but it kind of has the same vibiness to it. They talked about a little bit of the story where it's like you were like cryo-frozen. I don't think that's exactly what terminology they use, but essentially right. You were like cryo-frozen for like several hundred years. You're supposed to wake up in like this utopian paradise. You wake up and it's like still a desert.
The robots went crazy.
Right, the robots went nuts. The desert is still a desert. It's not this utopia, and then you're fighting your way through it. And it's like shooter that's combo-based, which is kind of weird. I don't know if I dig that part of the gameplay as much.
Right.
But it's collecting these cores, and you can make the bad cores that you collect from enemies into friendly cores. And it's puzzly. It's exploration-based. It's this navigate the world in cool ways like Metroid is. I really dug it. I think it looks super cool. And I'm super disappointed that I didn't see that in Microsoft conference.
And you were talking about earlier today, you're not going to buy an Xbox One. What you will do is build a new rig for your VR experience and to play all of these Microsoft games.
Yeah. Is ReCore one of those Xbox Player Anywhere
absolutely,
games?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely. I'll go buy an Xbox One controller and do it that way. You know? It's brilliant. It's a good system. Very good. Like you said, what Microsoft convinced me of in their press conference is not that I need an Xbox One, it's that I need an upgraded PC.
Yeah.
Because all their games are going to be there, and that's awesome. But it's a different thing for sure. So kudos to ReCore now that we kind of know what it is, and it looks really cool. Another one of them is Axiom Verge, which has actually been out for like a year.
Right.
And I've heard of it, and I've...
And it's on the PlayStation 4, which we
didn't
know.
Right now. I might actually own the game and not even know if they put it up on PlayStation Plus at one point. I just never played it. I don't know if that's okay. It could be. It's very Metroidvania. It's coming to Wii U now, and so that's why it was kind of being shown off at E3 this year, but it came out literally, I think,
last
June.
We would rather
June.
Have it on the PlayStation.
Oh, sure. Right? We have a PlayStation. Yeah. I'm not going to go buy a Wii U for it, but I have a PlayStation. And it's really, really Metroid-y, like, visually very, very, like, not only, like, in gameplay, but just in style, like, looks like Metroid. Like, they stole textures from Metroid.
Right.
Like, and it looks super cool. And I didn't even realize it was going to be that cool. And so it's a year-old game that I discovered at E3 this year.
And now,
year
after
about.
We get off the air, we're probably going to go look through your PlayStation.
Right.
Go,
to see.
This?
Pull up the library and go, oh, yeah, I did download that at one point. And so, and then there's one more that looks ridiculously cool. And it's maybe there's always like that one indie title that like you're super pumped about. After E3, this is it for me this year. It's from Double Fine, and so Double Fine's a very well-established company and everything else. But it's called Headlander, and it's this Metroidvania in the style more of Shadow Complex, which you mentioned when we were watching it.
Right.
It's kind of that modern Metroidvania type game, and you're this head in a jar. Like, you're a head in a jar that has like little rocket propulsion on it, and you can navigate around the world. And like land on different bodies and like take them over.
Right.
I don't really get it, but it's cool. And so part of the game is just like flying around as the head, but then part of it is like attaching to a body and navigating as like this stealth body or this combat party or a dog. Like at one point, like the little head landed on like this chihuahua looking dog, and then it was running around with this head in a jar as a head in a chihuahua body. That looks like a blast to me.
All I can say, and it's got a very 70s feel.
Very psychedelic. And
very trippy, very psychedelic. And all I say, we watched like 10 minutes of it, and I'm going to go back when you're not here and watch the rest of it. Because all I said to you was, I want whatever Tim Schafer is on.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what kind of drugs he's taking. I don't know what kind of drugs the rest of that team is taking, but give me some of those.
It's apparently pretty good stuff. Yeah. The game is nuts. It just looks ridiculous, but also looks like it's really, really fun to play. And so, yeah, I was blown away by that. That's a game I did not anticipate at all, did not know anything about coming in.
Right.
And that's my favorite part of E3 every year, honestly. And so, like, I remember Unfinished Swan being one of those games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that we saw that and we're like, this is so radically different than anything else, and it looks so cool. And I love that game. It was a fun game to play. There's a bunch of other titles like that that you see at E3. And almost always for me, it's those more indie titles that I just fall in love with. And then it's like, I have to have that. But another one this year is the Limbo game. What's the new? Inside,
yeah.
Yeah, that's this.
Oh, man, that looks great.
It looks great. Great. And the guy that was demoing it said it looks like Super Limbo, meaning that in like the best way, that it's like Limbo, what Limbo was as a game, but ramped up. And Limbo is one of those games that made an impression at E3. And now this kind of next iteration in that from that company, not in a similar world or whatever, looks really good. Dark and scary side scroller.
I'm going to tell you something. I thought, and I said to you, that makes me want to go play Limbo.
Right. Yeah, which I know I have that one sitting on my PlayStation 4 from some point in which I downloaded it. And so, yeah, that's a game I haven't played through. I've played a little bit of it, and now we need to play through and we need to play inside.
Do that.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. And there's those gems that after we get through the press conferences, and in the press conferences we get Battlefield 1, we get Dishonored, we get Zelda, we get these big, giant AAA titles that we're going to follow all over ourselves for.
Right.
But it's these little gems, Unravel from last year, that was like, that game's super cute and really cool looking. And then I played it 2 weeks ago and just fell in love with the thing and just played through it in like 3 days because I liked it so much. Firewatch, last year at E3 was the same thing, and I just recently played through that. It's those kind of games that maybe more so, Ori and the Blind Forest, now that I'm thinking about them, they're just coming and coming and coming. You know, it's like, that's what I see for Headlander.
And see, last year at E3, I told you Ori was really cool. I look at him and thought, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then you played it and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those games. You knew immediately that was my thing. Like, that was a game that I would fall in love with. And you were absolutely right. I bought the game, I played it, and fell in love with it. One of my favorite games I played last year. Just a phenomenal title.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think Headlander could be. Like, I think it's going to be one of those games.
Headlander's going to own you. And on top of that, here's the thing that gets me about Headlander. And I hope we can share play that. Because that one will make both of us laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I can already tell.
It's so over the top.
That one's going to make us laugh. And that's what I want. I mean, the best part of E3 this year for us, I have to say, is really, I mean, the games have been cool, but being able to sit in the same room and just be around each other and play games, like, that's more fun than the rest of it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to L.A. and I want to do the whole nine yards. And Chad, we're coming one of these years. That's happening. We're ending up in your house on your couch. That's going to happen. Just, I'm telling you. But, We don't really do people. We'll do it once, but it'll be one of those things like, okay, we did it.
Yeah.
Let's go home and play games like we normally do.
Yeah.
You
want to hear something crazy about Headlander? I was just looking, trying to find a release date. So the release date is this summer. So it should be in the next couple of months.
Right.
It is Double Fine.
Okay.
And Adult Swim.
Wow.
It's an Adult Swim game. Like, I don't know what to make of that, but it's
it looks
awesome.
Like you're on Steam and we can pre-order it.
Potentially. I don't know if they have a pre-order up yet. I was looking through. That's where I found the release date at. I don't see a pre-order.
Okay.
Because I'd like to know the price. I bet it'll be a $20 game. That's where those usually kind of land at. I bet it's going to be that. It looks super cool. That's one of those that, as we were just watching through trailer after trailer after trailer after stage demo after stage demo, that one we stopped at and went, ooh,
yeah,
that looks really cool. And not every one of them does that. There's several that we watched 2 minutes of and then we're like, done.
To be totally honest, if we hadn't sort of been in a hurry, I mean, right then was kind of when your wife showed up. And if we hadn't have been really in a hurry, we probably would have watched the whole 18 minutes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. It looks really, really good and compelling and, yeah, all that stuff. What other games have we seen? What am I missing?
Did we talk about... Yes, we did. I was going to ask you if we talked about the Horizon...
The
one that we keep seeing.
We've seen the commercials for a million times. Yeah. So we've been watching everything off of YouTube because we found this cool feature on the YouTube app on the PlayStation. You can link it to, so I linked it to my laptop so that I can actually create a queue on my laptop and play videos off my laptop, but push them to the PlayStation. And so it plays on the screen, but I'm controlling it off my laptop, so I don't have to use the DualShock to navigate YouTube.
Right, which I hate.
Miserable, just the worst thing. And so that's been super handy. And so the downside of that is every video we either get the ad for Horizon, which we talked about during the Sony show, which looks great. And we know that because we've seen it a billion times.
And we want to play it.
We do. We know it's coming out February 28th, 2017, because we've seen that a billion times at this point. And then also an ad for Razors, which go by the Facebook page. We went to Waffle House for lunch, as we mentioned earlier, and there's a picture up there. I don't use Razors, and that's going to be very obvious if you see a picture of me.
Yeah. If you see me, I've got a beard working.
Yeah.
Because you're here.
Jamie's scruffy. Yeah. I'm woolly.
Yeah.
Like, I was so digging the God of War trailer because I have the God of War beard. Like, my beard is like the Kratos beard from God of War. Like, I've got the big, full, lush beard thing going on right now. I haven't put a razor on my face in many years at this point. I don't need a razor, YouTube. Like, find something better to advertise for.
And I think it's funny because Jane was at the house yesterday. She's coming back tonight to help me with some things. And I guarantee you she will make a comment about the fact that I look like a homeless person because I haven't shaved in several days.
You just tell her, look at me.
Yeah. That's just what happens.
By contrast, you look very clean cut right now.
Yes. but that's, I mean, there are, the reason I was bringing Horizon up is that there are a ton of good games out there. Like, there are every E3 that we're like, wow, we want to see that. It's not all about, you know, getting your favorite console and getting the AAA titles. There's a ton of titles out there that are going to sneak by you if you're not paying attention. And this E3 is no exception. Lots of really great stuff out there. And for those of you, and Derek Ross, the drunk dude, I'm looking at you. If you don't play Headlander, you will regret it. Because can you imagine how much fun that game will be on alcohol?
Yeah, that may be true of most games. But that one's more than most. Yeah, it just looks like ridiculous fun.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I like games. I like games that are deep and are challenging. I like games that are massive and epic. And I like games that are just ridiculous fun, you know?
Right.
And that looks like a ridiculous fun game. It's not going to be emotional. Like, Unravel was emotional. Like, a weirdly emotional game, you know? Like, that was cool. It was a great experience, and I loved it. Headlander's not going to be that. It's just going to be absurd and over the top. And that's also going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah. I'm trying to think of any other titles.
I think that's it.
We've watched so much stuff, it's hard to keep up with. There's not really been a ton of news, like really newsy kind of stuff from E3 this
year. You know why? Because everybody, I mean, it started Sunday.
Yeah.
Everybody has kind of given all the news they got by this point.
And kind of the cards are on the table for, like, what seems like all the big topics. And so, like, VR obviously last year made all kinds of news because we had the Oculus event like 2 weeks before E3, and
right,
there was all this lead up to E3 about all of the VR stuff. And so there was all this kind of behind the scenes VR news. Well, Oculus and HTC Vive are out at this point, and so they're not really making news. Like, they're just showing stuff off.
They got their stuff and they're trying to sell hardware.
Right. And we got Project Scorpio from Microsoft, but we didn't get anything new from Sony, you know, newsy wise. just seen a lot of games, and a lot of games that look really good. And yeah, it's been a really encouraging E3 in that the gaming industry is strong right now.
And we say that every year, like we're shocked. Like, holy crap, we saw a lot of really good stuff. But it has happened year after year after year. And I think the reason that we sound so shocked is that we had 2 or 3 years in there where E3 didn't exist. Like, it was this corporate in a hotel room kind of a thing.
What was up with those E3 years?
That it just wasn't there.
Thank God they went back to what we have right now for E3, I think, is maybe the best iteration of E3 we ever have. Because before they went to the weird, like, Ramada Inn E3 or whatever you want to call that they did for like 2 years, when they moved it from May to June, which is still staying in June, but it used to always be in May. They also, like, before that point, it was like booth babes everywhere. Like, that was always like a big story out of E3. And that's kind of gone away. Like, I haven't seen, like, look at the booth babes everywhere stories, which is a good thing. Like, I like
booth babes, but you know, you're married. And
right. Like, I'm 33 years old. At this point in my life, I'm you know, like, whatever. Like, yes, there are young, attractive women all over the world. They're not hard to find if you want to go find young, attractive women to look at online or on TV or wherever. Like, I want E3 for games, you know? Like, I don't need E3 for very scantily clad women at this point. When I was 18, I was much more interested in that from an E3 standpoint. But I've grown up, and that's not something that I need as much for my E3. And it feels like E3 is a little bit more adult. At the same time, E3 used to always be, too, in those press conferences, Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo just bombarding you with numbers and stats and
they
all that
stuff. They
don't
do that anymore.
They don't do that now, which is wonderful, because nobody cares. Like at this point, like, once upon a time, it was like bragging rights. You come out at E3 and we sold 2 million copies of this game, or we have sold however many million units of hardware. And at this point, it's like, we all know who has what console and that kind of stuff. They figured out, like, people just want to see games. Like, you're not going to convince us that your console is awesome by just talking about how awesome it is. You're going to convince us your console is awesome by showing us what it can do and why we should want one. And they've done a much better job of that. And I like modern press conferences from E3 probably better than I ever have in the past.
I agree, and you're right. We're getting older. Everybody's getting older. All of the people that we are seeing on the stages in the press conferences are the same people that we've seen for years.
Right.
And they're just getting smarter.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about Phil Spencer or
Peter Moore.
I mean,
we've seen in many different press conferences as he's
four different people.
Companies.
I mean,
and But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, it's a lot of the same players involved, but just a much better presentation. And again, we've ran and raved over it, but the Sony press conference this year just set a bar of what an E3 press conference should be as far as flow, as far as presentation.
And you know what's crazy about that? And I hate to keep bringing it up because we talked about it yesterday, talked about it this morning, but that's one of those things that Microsoft won't do because they have that Gears of War testosterone thing going that were for gamers and all that. Like, I would like to think that next year that Microsoft would do that, but I don't know that they can pull it off.
Right. I think you might be right in your conclusion. I think your premise of getting there, I think instead of God of War at the beginning of the Sony press conference, if that was the Microsoft press conference and it started with Gears of War, God of War, Gears of War.
Yeah.
If it started with Gears of War, with the orchestra and everything else, I think it would have been equally as awesome.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's viable in that fact. I think maybe more so is the fact that Microsoft is still trying to be more the social console.
Right.
And that's where it gets a little, I don't even know then. Like, still, you can have a better presentation. But whatever it is, E3 is awesome. We love it. You know, like, we're really digging E3 this year. We've dug E3 the past few years after it broke out of the really weird little, like, what are we trying to be, E3 and the Ramada Inn? You know, like, it was just a bizarre little bit of time when they did that. They've kind of found their groove. Other than Nintendo, what the crap is Nintendo doing?
Man.
By the way, there's a new Mario Party on the 3DS.
Woohoo!
A little bit of news for you.
At least we got one Mario game out of this year's E3.
It's a Mario Party where everybody takes their turn at the same time, which I don't understand.
No.
For the life of me. But whatever, it's cool. At least we got something that has Mario in the title. Nintendo's in the weirdest place ever. I don't know what Nintendo's doing, but God bless them. I hope it works out, and I'm pumped about Zelda. So at least, Nintendo, whatever you're doing right now, don't screw up enough that we don't end up getting the Zelda game.
Right.
We need the Zelda game, so keep pushing until we get to Zelda. And, right. And fall apart, do whatever, we don't care, but give us Zelda.
I like your thinking there. Just, you can do whatever you want to do.
It's all about priorities.
Go get a drunk habit, whatever you got to do. Just get that Zelda thing girl before it happens.
Absolutely.
And look, I think part of the reason that, you know, we talk about the Ramada in years, I think part of the reason that E3 is so much more, quote unquote, professional the last couple of years is because they realized that even though it's an industry show, which is what happened, you know, those couple of years they were hanging out in hotels,
right?
And talking,
it was trying
to each
not
other.
To be as much about the consumer, right?
And they figured out that it is an industry show, but the consumer part of it is what makes it happen. Like the people like us that are sitting on the internet watching all this crap from our houses going, "Ooh, I wish I was there. I wish I could stand in line for 5 hours for the Batman demo," which, holy crap.
Right.
If I will tell you right now, that when we go to E3, because it will happen, I am going to, and Chad's going to laugh at this, but I swear it's going to happen. I will pull the handicap card as much as I possibly can. Like, somebody bring me a headset and show me how this thing works, because I am not sitting in line for 5 hours.
Hey, you don't even have to stand in line.
Like, I know, but
like,
I'm
if anybody
still not
should
doing
have
it.
To wait in line that long, it should be you who gets to just sit there the whole time.
Right.
But no, I'm completely with you. I'm just going to be the handicapped guy's friend that's going around like, "Hey, man, we need to cut my friend here. He's not doing so well." Like, it's like make a wish for Jamie to go to E3, and then we're just cutting in line everywhere.
And the reason he just did that so smooth. It's because it won't be the first time he's ever done that. Like, that's happened before, and he digs it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, take advantage of your strengths, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got something. Let's work it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, yeah. It could turn into a good thing.
And Chad's like having a heart attack because he's I got to say something about Chad before we wrap up. Chad is one of the people, which, by the way, fanboynation.com, we're at the end of the show, and I forgot to say that we're the flagship gaming podcast of fanboynation.com, but we are. Chad's one of those people that will not take crap from me because I'm in a wheelchair.
Right.
And now that we just said that, he will make sure that we have to stand in line at every right. E3, no matter which one we go to, he'll make sure that happens. Because, you know, don't give this idiot special treatment because he's in a wheelchair. I'm just going to say one thing, Chad. If I drag my butt to L.A. and sleep on your couch, you're going to give me every advantage possible. That's all I'm saying.
We'll help you cut in line, too. Like, yeah. We can all cut in line together. We'll just have a good time. Like, yeah. Take advantage of your strengths is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All that being said, we will have one more show to wrap up E3, talking about just overall thoughts and reflections and all that kind of stuff. Give it a couple of days to kind of sink in. And
right.
So we originally had that scheduled for tomorrow. We're not going to do that tomorrow. I said I was going to take it off the website. I haven't yet. I will do that right now so that it's no longer on the website. But we will do that probably on Saturday. That will not be live, like I mentioned earlier, because we will no longer be in the same room, right, which is sad.
I'm depressed. Even though nobody's really been listening to the live shows, it's kind of fun.
It is fun.
Because we know that...
people could be listening. We haven't really been watching it very closely. And so there's a good chance people have been sneaking in and we just haven't noticed. So yeah, if you've been listening live, thanks. We appreciate that if you're listening live right now.
It's a lot of, unless you're my parents. In that case, we're in
then the show's
trouble.
Yeah, been super awkward.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to make some apologies after this. Yeah. Otherwise, thank you so much for hanging out. I will say this because we were originally going to announce the winners of the production contest tomorrow. We're not gonna do that now. We'll do that on Saturday probably when we when we do the show. So, hey, just off the chance that you wanted to submit some production, you hadn't yet, if you still turn it in, you'll get a chance. So you've got a couple more days to give us some production before we actually announce a winner. And so we're like totally laid back. So if you're late and slacking and procrastinating, that's cool. Send it in now.
Yeah.
And we'll still consider it. So
and I gotta be honest, that's gonna be a lot of fun because I haven't heard any of that.
I haven't either.
Yet.
I've been very intentional about not listening to them, and so we'll have to listen to them before the show so we can make a decision about them before trying to do that on the show. But I'm excited about that for sure. And so, the production contest is simply we need a piece of production that we can drop in the show that says that we're the flagship gaming podcast of Fanboy Nation, that they're awesome and we love them.
Yes.
That's really about it. And so it could be whatever.
GamingUncensored.com.
Yeah,
play that.
Throw that in there too. That'd be nice. Yeah. But like whatever you want to put in there, we don't care. We just want you to put production in there and we'll give you a free game out of it.
We have lots of free
games. We have so many free games we need to start giving away. Do that. Go support us on Patreon. We might give you a free game if you support us on Patreon as well. We've got so many of them.
He said might.
Right. Not promising anything.
Might.
But we have tons of games. There's no reason we shouldn't be handing them out.
Yeah.
So go by Patreon. If we don't give you a free game, you will get other perks with that. And so there's lots of cool stuff happening there. And
yes,
if we want to send you a free game, we may send you a free game. And so we'll ask you, hey, you have this title. It's really fun. You should check it out. Here's a code. You know, so stuff like that. We're excited to do that. It's going to be fun. And so by all means, send us some production if you haven't yet.
And I have no idea what the next 18 hours is gonna be like. I know we're gonna play games. We're probably gonna maybe add some content to the Patreon, but if it's anything like it was tonight, we're probably just gonna play games.
Right.
So
we will be updating stuff. We're putting out more content on a very regular basis now, and we're gonna do even more of that. And we're excited to do that. It's fun. It's making us do stuff, and so the more that you give us feedback, it doesn't have to be Patreon. We're never going to say, oh, if you're not giving it to Patreon, you suck as a listener. No, we don't care. We want you listening for whatever reason you're listening. We just hope we're helping you make it through your day for whatever you're doing. If it sucks, if it's great, we don't care. We just want to be entertaining, hopefully, a little bit for what you're doing. But we do
want. I think we were tonight. Either we were entertaining or we're really,
really bad. One or the other. But we would love to hear your feedback. So you don't have to give us money. You don't have to go to Patreon. You don't have to do any of that stuff, though we would love if you did. But we would love to hear from you. GamingUncensored@gmail.com is the email address. Come by the Facebook page. Just search for Gaming Uncensored on Facebook. We'd love to have you over there. Send us a segment. You can call the voicemail line at 509-GAME-210, or you can record a segment and email it to us. Whatever you want to do. We just like hearing from you guys. That's a really fun part of us doing this.
Because you are the reason we are doing this show. You're the reason we're still here. If there was nobody listening to us, we probably still wouldn't be on the air.
Right.
So
maybe. We might be. There's probably been points where somebody has been listening to us, and we're still having fun. So we dig it, but we dig it in part because we get to interact with you guys, and that's a fun part of it. So, yeah, just come hang out with us. Give us money if you want to, and we love that, and we'll give you shout-outs and do all kinds of other stuff. But you don't have to. We just want to hang out with you. We just want to get to know you a little bit. And if you just want to be a total lurker listening to the show, that's fine, too. We're not going to come find you and say, hey, you should talk more. But we would love to hear from you. Even if it's just, hey, send us an email and say, I listen to you guys. You're stupid sometimes, but I kind of like it. We would dig that.
We
totally
have got that email.
More than once. Yes. You guys sound really stupid, but it's funny. Okay. Cool, man. We appreciate it. You know, that's awesome. If you're listening to us, we're thrilled. So, yeah. Thanks for hanging out. We'll have one more show to finish up E3 in a couple of days. But we've had a blast. We're going to go play some games. Have a good time with it.
For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. You are listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2016. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out.